Welcome, friends, to the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And once again, welcome to our broadcast on this Wednesday. And thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to join us. And we hope you'll stay with us for the next 45 minutes or so as we continue to develop our theme this week on the Grace Hour, Living in the Light of Eternity. And today, we'll break that down a little bit and we'll talk about time, something that we can all relate to, something that we've all been given in a very even fashion. And it doesn't really matter who you are. You could be the President of the United States. You could be the custodian in the White House. Each of you has 24 hours in every day. So we'll talk about time and what it means, its importance, especially in light of you and I who have been given the gift of eternal life. And we'll break it down and hopefully share some practical thoughts for you, something that will encourage you and help you in your journey of faith. My name is Pastor John Love, joining me in the studio today, as he does each and every Wednesday, Pastor Barry Quirk, and we're going to be your hosts for this Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. Quick reminder, of course, you're welcome to join us during the broadcast. We have open phone lines. You can pick up a phone, dial one of these numbers, and join us live at the toll-free number, 800-338-7060. And you can dial that number anywhere in North America. And if you're joining us locally in the greater Baltimore area, you would dial the local number, which is 410-483-3700. And again, we want to encourage you and remind you, don't forget to subscribe to the Grace Hour on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Wherever you, again, get in touch with your podcasts, be sure to seek out the Grace Hour and share about this broadcast with your friends and family members. Well, Pastor Barry, got a great theme and subject today, time.
Yes,
Isn't it interesting? We're talking about time, and we have a limited amount of time to talk about time.
Exactly. it's interesting. You put it into perspective. It doesn't matter if you're the president or the custodian. You both get 24 hours, and I'm biting my tongue about who's more effective in those 24 hours.
Good however, point.
and also, I just wanted to point out, I'm a little disappointed that we're no longer on Stitcher. For one of our podcasts, you know, that was a personal favorite, Stitcher. I don't actually know what it is or where it comes from, but I like saying you could subscribe to us on Stitcher. So that
sounds like your clothes have been torn and you got to do some work.
Time is really something that's a great value. Actually, Jonathan Edwards, the great Puritan preacher, said that the most valuable resource in the universe is time. That we can spend our time trying to make money, but we cannot create more time even by using that money. So, you know, it's a very valuable thing where eternity depends upon time. Time is very short. James 4:14 calls time, you know, our life but a vapor. We don't know how much time we have, and once it's gone, it's gone. So, yeah, this is a great perspective. What, you know, how should we capitalize on the time that we have? And, you know, are we doing things in our lives that have any value when it comes to what time really means?
It is. It's a fascinating theme and subject. And, of course, I think we've all tried to, or at least hoped, that at some point time could stop.
Yes.
Or we could slow it down. But we're all familiar with some of those adages, like, you know, time flies.
Yes.
You know, it's just the nature of time. It's a fascinating principle, time.
Yes.
And yet, as you pointed out, we all have it. It's our most valuable commodity. But it's like money in the sense that you can spend it any way you want. Mm-hmm. But once you've spent that money, you don't get that money back again.
Absolutely. It's very much considered, like, you know, money is such a valuable resource to do things that we want, but it also reveals where our heart is, right? Like the word says that where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. And I think time reveals also very much where our heart and our understanding of what we're doing here on this earth is. And we speak about it a lot in the high school with our students, and I think it's an important topic, and we probably mentioned it here, I'm sure. But, you know, we often celebrate the birthday, the birth of a child, and the death of a person. And, you know, we have big celebrations, really. I mean, in a sad way, a celebration about somebody's death. But really, the most important thing is not the day they were born or the day they died. But what happened in that dash between those two digits? And really, those are the essential things. As a matter of fact, for the believer, we believe that there's actually a judgment, a Bema Seat judgment, that deals with specifically what did we do with the things that God gave to us? How did we apply them? What was the usefulness of them? And so it is a serious matter for us, and we can waste time. You know, we've all been at that place where we've just found ourselves doing something and then said, my gosh, I can't get those 2 hours back again. They're done, you know? So it's an important thing to understand the value of it.
Yeah. And I think the older that we get, the more we realize that particular resource is running out.
It is.
I know personally, I didn't think that way when I was younger. You don't even think about being older. Your life just seems to be endless, and yet it starts to draw to a close potentially, and you start to realize, wow, you know, my days on the earth are numbered.
Yes.
And although I don't know when that time is up, it's going to be up.
Yeah.
I guess it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what we're talking about. But I like what you just shared, because Corrie ten Boom, that wonderful saint who survived the Nazi prison camp, once said this, that the measure of a life, after all, is not its duration, but its donation.
Mm.
And isn't that the truth?
Absolutely.
What is it that we're bringing to the table with our lives? Mm. What kind of an impact are we making? Do we have a ministry? Mm. Are we communicating the life of God to those around us? These are the kinds of questions that we like to ask ourselves in light of eternity.
Yeah, and I really like it when we find somebody like Corrie ten Boom or Jonathan Edwards who is captive, you know, been captivated by the importance of time and recognizes it. And a lot has to do with the surroundings. With Corrie ten Boom, she realized that life is fleeting. And actually, one of my favorite and most challenging movie scenes of all time is from Schindler's List, the tragic story of the Holocaust, and one businessman in Germany who found it valuable to, you know, hide Jews and to put them in his marketplace. And, you know, they were supposed to be building weaponry to fight in the war, and he made sure that the weapons were flawed so that they could never be put to production, so they had to keep producing. But at the end of this, when they show, you know, how many people had been saved from certain death, annihilation by his efforts, you know, he's there looking, and he's, instead of being satisfied that he's completed something, he takes his wedding ring off and he looks at it and he goes, you know, how many more could we have gotten? How many more would this have purchased? And, you know, he understood the vanity of certain things, and certainly we're not saying a wedding ring is vain, but the point is that is there anything else I could have done? Yeah. And that was so challenging for me when I think about the value of our souls and what are we doing here on this earth? You know, we could spend a whole lifetime trying to improve our living situation or to leave a legacy by way of foundation of money, and it could have no value whatsoever for all of eternity. Mm. It's a sad, sad tragedy.
It's true. And I was reading in the New Living Translation Bible what Paul wrote in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He said, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God."
Mm, beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, that in essence sums up what we want to talk about, which is our lives can be used to finishing that work which has been assigned to us.
Yes.
Which is to, you know, carry the gospel.
Yeah.
To be the bearer of good news to people in a world that just seems to be inundated, especially at this particular time, with bad news.
Yeah. And I mean, really, we consider that this life is our home, because actually it's not, right? This world is not our home. 1 Peter 5:7 says that we pass the time of our sojourning here on earth in fear, and not the kind of fear where we are trembling from God, but the kind of fear where we revere God and we find out what is important to Him. We're strangers and pilgrims on this earth, and if we can find a way to find out what the will of God is for our lives while we're here, and then spend all of our efforts making sure that that happens, we're going to have really satisfying lives, and we will have accomplished the thing that God sees as important in our lives. And I really believe, and we know this because we've been on the road for a while with the Lord, and I told a student this morning, I said, following God is not a boring, empty, mundane thing. It is satisfying and fulfilling and joyous, and we have the greatest times of our lives in seemingly sacrificing things that the earth, the people of this world find valuable. And we just say, I'm sorry, but we know a better truth. The truth is what we're dedicating our lives to is the thing that's in God's heart. And that's really what we're going to live for all of eternity, knowing that we're satisfying the things of God.
Yeah. And I think all of us want to be able to look back on our lives with a deep sense of satisfaction. Mm-hmm. It would be wonderful to reach the end of our life, like the Apostle Paul did, and to be able to say, as he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you know, I have finished my race.
Yes.
I've run this race.
Yes.
Finished the course, you know, kept the faith. Or another way of saying it really is the faith has kept me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look forward to, you know, the day when God will crown me.
Yes.
As a result of living. And again, that's that Bema seat that you mentioned.
Yes.
But living a life that, a life of faith.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just, he was so satisfied. He was so like, this is it. You know, yeah. my I'm packing up my tent. I'm checking out,
yeah,
but I'm satisfied, and I'm so grateful to God that I was able to, you know, finish. And this is someone who early on in his life put Christians to death,
yeah,
signed papers to have them imprisoned. He was a murderer. He was a, that's incredible. But he could look back on it and say, listen, it was all God, and I'm so grateful that he redeemed me from that part of my life and then brought me into the fullness of what it means to walk with God by faith.
Wow, it's beautiful. And we could spend our lives living in regret, you know, and I just think we have a certain number of hours that we don't even know how many we have. You know, if we had a budget and we had money and we were spending it just however we felt like spending it, ultimately we're going to feel the cost of that. And the Apostle Paul had a season in his life where he thought he was spending his life judiciously. You know, he thought he was doing God a favor by wiping out Christians, and he ends up finding out, you know, on the road to Damascus that Saul, why persecutest thou me? Jesus says to him directly, you're persecuting me, not just my people. And, you know, he's arrested by the grace of God. And when he's arrested by the grace of God and ultimately given his vision back, he has a new understanding of what grace means. And then uses that experience not to live in regret, but to say, I only have a certain amount of time. I'm going to use it usefully for the kingdom of God.
Wow.
And that's something that's beautiful, right? I mean, we understand that we'd want it any other way. We would want to live our lives knowing that, you know, what happened to get me to this point isn't the issue. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And where God's taking me is more beautiful than anything that we could provide temporarily.
Amen. I just think of Psalm 90, verse 12, where the psalmist said, Lord, you got to teach me to number my days so that I can apply my heart to wisdom.
Yes.
Because that's what we need. It's not enough to have knowledge. You got to have wisdom, which is the application of knowledge.
That's right.
With the days that we have left. But Pastor Barry, I want to kind of break it down, this subject for us, and in three particular areas, and call it number one, time. Is first and foremost a test. What is the test? What is this great test? Well, it has to do with Christ.
Yes.
You know, receiving him or rejecting him. This, he is, if you will, the test.
Yes.
And how you respond to that test about Christ. I mean, it's almost like life for an unbeliever comes down to this one question that the Bible poses. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then, you know, you're going to spend eternity with God.
Yes.
You put your faith in him and what he accomplished at the cross. Your sins are forgiven. You receive the gift of eternal life. You now have the privilege and the great opportunity to walk with God by faith. Passing that test, which is really just exercising faith in who he is,
yes,
is the most important test any of us will ever take.
Yeah, it's exactly what we're really the key point of what we're talking about. And actually, Jonathan Edwards, to go back to him a little bit, he said time is precious because a happy or a miserable eternity depends on the good or ill improvement of it. So we either use our time to accept Christ and to realize the full purpose of why we're here, or we don't, and we're miserable, right? And eternity's in the balance, you know? So it is really, the test is, do I believe God at his word? Can I operate by faith that there's something more than what you see here by sight? And I think about the life of Jeremiah. You know, we've been talking about him in our college class, and Jeremiah lived his life 50 years as the weeping prophet, and he did not live in a time when he saw a lot of outward fruit for his lamenting. You know, actually, what he saw was people ignoring it, a system of denying God, which ended up turning into them defying God, or of seeing that their lives were somehow tied to their religious activity, which had just become going through the motion and no relationship. And at the end of all that, he didn't see a lot of fruit, but he had a concrete conviction that what he was saying was true, and that God, he also had a crystal clear vision of the deliverance of God from that bondage and that disobedience and that captivity. And I just love the fact that for 50 years, his vision was not moved through imprisonment, through persecution, through all of those things, that he had a straight laser vision that this is what God's promise is for man. And it's the only thing worth talking about. And, you know, how much time do we waste talking about things that are not worthwhile talking about? You know, and this is really a challenging topic, because foolish jesting can take us over. You know, we can talk about things in a foolish manner. We're not talking about edifying one another with laughter and humor. That's part of the fun of being in life, that good, healthy humor. But can we lose sight of that test, which is really, you know, God's already done the work. Why don't you enter into it? And as soon as you do, all the keys to life become very evident to you.
Yeah. And I would say for the believer, you know, it's all about redeeming that time.
Absolutely.
You know, purchasing it in the sense that you want to make the most out of every opportunity that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you said just a moment ago, that so much time can be wasted in trivial matters and in that which is passing away, which has no real value in life. We're so good at it. I almost want to say that. We're so good at wasting time.
Yeah.
But we're constantly reminded as we look into the lens of Scripture that God says, you got to redeem that time. Make the most of your moments.
Yes.
And make them eternal.
Yeah.
Make them lasting moments. And you can do that by, you know, walking by faith with Christ. So time is a test, to be sure. And you know, there's nothing more important than that. That's why when we evangelize and we share the gospel, we say to people, you know, you make this decision to trust Christ as your Savior, there is no more important a decision than this one that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, that sounds like they might say, but I, you know, what about who I marry? What about where I live? What about where I work? And, you know, my home. Now those are all secondary issues.
Yes.
What really matters is, do you have peace with God? And you can't have peace with God without being justified by faith through Christ.
Absolutely. And everything else that happens in our lives supports that, right?
I mean,
really, my job, you know, yes, Paul needed a tent-making skill to be able to exist and to be able to do the things of God, but it was just that. It wasn't his identity. It was his tent-making skill. And we actually are blessed in the sense that our jobs really are ministry-related. But even so, you know, I'm challenged on a daily basis to say, this is not my identity. You know, I, as the principal of a Christian school, I'm constantly helping students to learn how to navigate through life in a way that will give them a foundation of truth, that will give them the opportunity to stand and propagate the same kind of life to their children as we go forward. But at the end of the day, it does not substitute for my personal walk with God. I have to have a personal walk with God. I have to use my time to say, I'm only here for a certain number of years, and each one of those years has a certain number of days, and each one of those days has a certain number of hours. Whether I'm rich, poor, or indifferent, I only get those amount of hours. It's the great equalizer to every person, and those days are not even promised. You know, we don't know if we have it tomorrow.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
But the hours that we do have, we can use judiciously. And as you said, redeeming or buying back our time is of the most importance. And actually, Hebrews chapter 13 and 14 through 16, it says that we don't have a continuing city, but we seek one to come. And that's really the point, is that, you know, imagine the tragedy of spending your entire life trying to build something in this world, only to have your days taken away from you, and you never have any follow through or impact on that. I'm reminded, actually, my mother-in-law, who passed away a number of years ago, is buried in a cemetery in Renton, Washington, and she's her body, she's in heaven, but her body is buried within 100, 200 yards of Jimi Hendrix, the famous musician, and he has this shrine of a burial stone, you know, and the whole thing is, you know, designed for people to come, and there's lipstick on it where people are kissing it. And I'm just thinking, like, oh my goodness, this, and it, from what I understand, it cost a very hefty price tag for that memorial. But the point is, you could spend all this time and effort and money memorializing somebody who, you know, to the best of our understanding, did not use his time very wisely towards the kingdom of God. And we hope that in some way, shape, or form, he knew Christ personally, and I'm not the judge of that. But I do know that my life and what I do with my decisions speaks a lot. And, you know, how can we spend our time? And you know, here's my mother-in-law, who's just a few hundred meters away, and is, you know, lived her life redeemed from another life, but redeemed and became a believer. And at the end of her life, she went home to be with the Lord. She had been bedridden for a number of years, but goes to celebrate in a mansion that her father has prepared for her, right? And the picture is very stark. It's very close by, but the picture is amazing that, you know, there you have it, a life lived before Christ and the value of that. So it is important for us to understand that.
Absolutely. And as you were sharing those thoughts, all I could think of was the proverb, which says, you know, except the Lord build a house, and they that labor in vain.
Yes.
You know, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of a house are we building? Maybe even more importantly than that, on what foundation are we building? I mean, Jesus made it clear in Matthew chapter 7, if you build your house or live your life based upon those things that I'm telling you, my sayings, it will be like building your house on a rock.
Yes.
But if you build your house on something other than what I'm saying, it's like building your house on sand.
Yep.
Storm's going to come, winds will come, waves will come. It's going to be washed away. It's going to be worth nothing. Which leads me to the second principle. If time is a test, the second one is time is a trust. God has entrusted with time, us with time. And you mentioned earlier about how much time do we have? We don't know. But we also do know how some young lives, from our perspective, seemingly were cut short.
Yes.
I mean, we think of young people who come to our mind, and they're 18 years old, 19 years old, 25 years old. We don't look at it as a tragedy because they're believers. We just know that that's what God had ordained for their lives here on the earth.
Yes.
And then some of us, it could be, you know, into our 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. We don't know.
Right.
But if life is a trust, how are we becoming good stewards of that which God has entrusted us with, which is essentially our time?
Yeah. And that's the whole key. Can I see it through the eyes of God? You know, can I see my time? I'm very, you know, we're selfish people. Right? We grow up and we're selfish and we want things. And the things that we fixate on are what we dedicate our lives to getting. And, you know, you get to work with professional athletes, and they don't get to be as good as they are without working really hard at it. Now, they have some God-given talent and ability and size and athleticism that, you know, some of us don't have. But also, there's a lot of work. They didn't get there. But that focus, you know, ultimately, at the end of it all, you've seen athletes that are at the very top of their game, and they're empty. They don't have Christ.
Right.
And you get to have the opportunity to redirect some of those young men into saying, hey, it's great that you're spending your time with, you know, using your physicality to make your money for your families and your stamp on life. And then some of them, fortunately, are using that platform to propagate the gospel or to the things of God, and we love that. But that you have an opportunity that's far more valuable. I don't care the richest contract in the NBA. And I think I remember you telling us a story that there was one Major League Baseball pitcher who was standing in the room next to you, and this came across the screen that he had received this huge new contract. I think it was Andy Pettit or somebody at the time. And you happen to be standing in the room the same time it's coming across the screen. And it's like, okay, I don't care how much money that's worth. It's temporary, right? That you're satisfied for the moment. But what God wants to do for us is eternal. There's no fizzling away. I can't even imagine that we get to be in eternity forever and ever and ever. And, you know, we're hearing, especially lately, because I believe there's a movie coming out about some people's situations who are professing that they had a life after death experience, and the Lord brought them back, and they experienced it. And I remember one woman saying, it didn't feel like I died. It felt like I was more alive than I was when I was alive. Wow. And I just said, wow, that's a great way to encapsulate what's going to happen in our lives, because we could feel like we only accomplished so much in this life. Like, how much more could I have done? But we're going to go to heaven and experience the ultimate fullness, right? And being a part of the bride of Christ, it's going to be beautiful.
Mm. On that note, I want to just read a quote to you from his book entitled Nearing Home, written by Billy Graham, and he wrote the following, quote, "I often wonder if God, in his sovereignty, allows the eyesight of the aged to cast a dim view of the here and now so that we may focus our spiritual eyes on the ever after."
Wow.
What a statement, huh?
Man, that's amazing.
In other words, our eyesight over time begins to dim.
Yes.
Is that God's way of saying, you know, don't be distracted by what you see in the here and now. I want you to start focusing on the ever after.
Wow, that's beautiful. I mean, yeah, I could see it being that when Christ returns, there's going to be some who are so dug in here on earth, he's going to have to, you know, extract them from their possessions to get them to the place where they're going to see eternity. And if God could somehow in his mercy and grace keep us from being entrenched in that. And, you know, we believe in the full counsel of God. And at the same time, I don't think God wants us to purposely have to suffer. Mm-hmm. I think that there are opportunities for us to have a walk with him that is, you know, provides for us in our daily needs. But also, isn't it so much more awesome to be able to say what God gave us is enough than to say, oh, I wish I had more? Or, you know, it just goes along with the same principle. Are we satisfied? Are we content in whatsoever state we're in? And I often find that when I'm satisfied with God, there's a blessing poured out. And sometimes we get blessed with something that's so far above we could even imagine. And I really believe that it's just because we're content with what he gave us.
Yeah.
And we take the opportunities and we pray and we walk by faith and we walk forward and we say, here's my need, here's God, what can I do? And he says, trust me, but also here's a provision. Operate this way. And our eyes could grow. The longer that we're here, if our eyesight stayed perfect, we could be clinging to the dust and not wanting to leave.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe even, you know, falling in love with this world and what it offers us.
Yes.
But to go back to what Paul said in his final comments, you know, it's kind of interesting because he looked behind, you know, and he said, you know, I've finished the course. Mm-hmm. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. Mm-hmm. And then he looked ahead. He says, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, wow, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me and to everyone who loves his appearing. But then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said, when he looked around, someone was missing, a man named Demas, who loved this present world system, used to co-labor with Paul, used to walk with him as a companion in the faith. So look at it from this perspective. He looked behind with a sense of satisfaction. He looked ahead with a sense of hope and anticipation. But when he looked around, he said, somebody's missing.
Wow.
So Demas had the same opportunities that Paul had, not specifically, but the opportunity to live for God and to take time and to use it as a tool to be prepared for eternity.
Wow.
But he forsook that opportunity because he fell in love with this present world system.
Yeah. Yeah.
That can happen easily to believers if they don't, you know, have that priority, which is I'm going to take this time that God has given to me. It's a trust.
Yes.
It's not even mine. And maybe we could live our lives like the Apostle Paul, who said, you know, for me, living is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Dying is gain, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21.
I mean, that's only the perspective that a person could have when they have placed their trust in the Lord. Because what person in his sane mind says, if I want to live my best life, I got to give it away. And also, when I die, I gain, you know. And a person in their personal selfishness or sanity would say, no, I need to gain my life. I need to spend this time. I only have one spin around this planet in my lifetime, and I'm going to use it to the glory of me. And, you know, and even I want to leave a legacy, and we can convince ourselves in a lot of different ways. The greatest legacy that my parents ever left me was not, you know, millions of dollars in fancy homes. It was a walk of faith that they lived out before me on a daily basis, and that I got to see the fruit of their lives and the satisfaction that they had in their own lives. That was the biggest legacy I could ever have. To turn your eyes upon Jesus, right? Look towards his wonderful face. And this is really what I learned in my life. And I hope that that's what I can exemplify for my daughter, and that this is the impact we have on the people around us, that when we pass away, the greatest epitaph we could have is he walked with God, he knew God, and then God has him in heaven.
Yeah. Amen. I think it's important, too, because you mentioned it, like this is what we do for a living.
Yes.
We're in the ministry. We do ministry work, and it's a great blessing.
Yeah.
And we never want to become familiar with it, and always grateful that God called us into this kind of work, if you can call it that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it doesn't matter who you are. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto men.
Wow.
We can do anything if we do it with that one great goal, which is to glorify God. You can be a truck driver today.
Yes.
And you can glorify God as much as you and I can glorify God if we're behind the microphone doing the Grace Hour broadcast, behind the pulpit preaching a message, or in a few hours, as you mentioned, I'll make that travel up to New York and we'll do a chapel service with the athletes tonight.
Yes.
What we do for God's glory.
Yes.
And you can do anything to the glory of God. You can be listening to the broadcast today to the glory of God.
Yes.
And I think that that's part of that trust that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Because I think some people might look at their profession or their vocation and say, well, you know, for 8 hours a day, I got to do this, but then I get to go to church, or I have a ministry and I can be a part of that. That's really valuable. Listen, everything you do is valuable if you do it with that one great goal and that one great purpose, which is to glorify God.
Without a doubt. And I think we sell ourselves short if we say, you know, well, that's good for them. They're pastors. They're in the ministry full time. You know, they have dedicated their lives to that. First of all, I never set out in my life to be a pastor. I never set out in my life to be a principal.
Same here.
You know, I was going to play lineman at Notre Dame University. That was my goal in life for a little kid, you know. And because that's how we dream. What's the most important thing? I want to be on Fighting Irish, you know. Good Irish Catholic boy. Mm-hmm. And then we start to realize, you know, well, this God has a call in your life. And I remember even as a young man that Pastor Stevens baptizing me in the Pittsfield Lenox Road Holiday Inn, you know, and getting baptized. And his challenge to me personally was, you know, if you honor God, God will honor you in ways that you could never imagine. And that stuck with me, you know, as a mantra for my whole life. And it still does. Because I realized that this was a man given to the Word of God to the point where, you know, he wasn't doing this because it was convenient, you know. And I learned something about that. And also that God has a way of keeping us, as you said, his plan keeps us. Like, faith keeps us. We don't necessarily keep the faith.
Amen.
Which is a beautiful picture. But mm-hmm. but also, what a life of lack of regret. I to me, it's just so encouraging. When I lie down at night, I'm not regretting what I'm doing with my 24 hours previously. You know, are there moments where I have failed or fallen short? Absolutely. Do I regret that? Absolutely. Only because it's lost time. You know, if we mm-hmm. were financial advisors to people and they came to us and they said, I have a huge deficit, I can't figure out what's going on, we would sit down with them and we would look at their budget and we would say, how much money do you take in? And how do you spend the money that you have on essentials? And how are you spending your extra money? You know, your disposable income. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, they would have a very clear objective picture of where they're lacking. Either they're not making enough money to live the lifestyle they have, or they need to make a decision about the liberties they're taking and giving money to places where they can't afford to give it. Whatever it is, at the end of the day, they would have a clear understanding. Well, we are given time. And we are given an opportunity to invest that time in a way that will come back to us multiple ways. And so can we objectively look at it? You know, because somebody would ask the question and say, well, if you fall out of, you know, redeeming the time, like if you find that you're living your life in a way that maybe you've lost time, or you pursued something that you thought would be satisfying to your life, but you're realizing maybe it was to a degree, but I'm lacking in the part where I follow God, you know, what do you do? And I just think we can sit down with an advisor, Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and he can say to us and point out to us areas of our life where, you know, we've fallen short, and he doesn't say you should live in bondage or condemnation about that. He just says, brush your feet off and go to the next city, you know? Yeah. And really, we can make good decisions. Just compound one good decision after another and watch how the time is brought back and how faithful he is to us. And what we learned along the way can, instead of being regret and a curse, can be a blessing that we can pass on to others.
Amen. Yeah. And in implement that principle that Paul shared with us, which is, you know, when you have those momentary regrets, you know, Leave them behind.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
This one thing I know, this one thing I've learned, Paul said, to forget the things which are behind and to look ahead to the things which are before me.
Thank God.
I know.
I mean, how much time that we could sit around going, oh, I didn't do this and I should have done that. And I, really, it plagues people. Some people are plagued by the fact that I missed this opportunity. And just say, whatever happened, happened by the grace of God, but also by God allowing us in our decision process, you know, when he doesn't promote evil.
Right.
But can't he use the consequences of somebody's bad decisions for his glory? I mean, we see it happening. We see it happening in the Bible. And Paul himself made bad decisions. God captured him by his grace right there. And he's blinded, really, the person who puts their hands on him, Ananias, to help bring his eyesight back is a man who is looking at him saying, are you sure, God? Because this guy's an enemy, and I should have an opportunity I'd like to take out on him. Mm-hmm. But even in him, it was the time issue was, how am I going to look at this particular point in time with what is God doing, what is God requiring of me, mm-hmm. and do I trust him enough to say, I'm going to give my time to respond to what God has asked me to do? Mm-hmm. Not just for Paul, but for Ananias.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, too often we do what you just said, which is well, failure is a moment.
Yeah.
Don't build a monument to it.
Yes. Yes.
Just isolate it and very quickly move on and forget those things which are behind. We've always said that that's the reason why the rearview mirror is the size it is compared to the windshield. God wants you to look ahead.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you occupied with it. I mean, Don't get me wrong. You need a rearview mirror.
Yes.
But you stare in that rearview mirror as you get behind the wheel of your car long enough, you're going to wrap yourself around a pole.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
It's going to be dangerous. Wow. So again, it's just a moment. Don't build a monument to it. Let it go.
Yeah.
Because that's so important and so valuable for us to remember.
Yeah.
So time is a test. It's all about Christ, what we do with him. Time is a trust. We've explained that. And the last thing we'll mention before we sign off today is it's a temporary assignment.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not going to last very long.
It's not.
We are here, as you said at the outset of the program, life is a vapor that appears and then it very quickly disappears.
Yes.
You've got to remember that because some people live their lives like this is everything. Mm-hmm. This is what it's all about. But heaven and earth is going to pass away.
Yeah.
And the only thing that really matters is what God has said and what God promises. And that's it. The will of God, that abides forever.
Yep.
And are we going to abide in that will? Are we going to discover what that will is? God doesn't want to keep it a secret from us.
Mm.
It says that we should walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil.
Yeah.
And don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of God is because, again, how many years? And then you break it down to how many days? None of us knows for sure. But you can be sure it's a temporary assignment.
Yeah. Being wise to the things of God. I mean, what does God have for me? Why am I here? You know, we could spend all of our time building our own little kingdom, but did I remember what God has for me? And time is fleeting. You know, I ask people this a lot, but do you know the name of your great-great-grandfather? Right? I don't. And actually, I read recently, I did one of these Ancestry.com things or whatever it was, and it did list the names of relatives, and you know I saw familiar names that are family names that I recognized over the years, but I couldn't tell you who was the grandfather, the great grandfather, who was the brother, who was the uncle, nor could I remember. Could I tell you any accomplishments that they had in their lives at all? I know that I'm here because I had that ancestry, but I have no idea how, and nor do I know where my ancestry will go. Mm. The life, the place where you are is like grass, right? It's like a flower. It fades, and the place where it faded doesn't even remember that it ever existed. Mm. And life is so fleeting. Our time is so short. It's so valuable to God in a sense because every moment that we use, we could make an eternal impact.
Amen.
And at the same time, it's so fleeting to man because it just goes out of his hands like water runs through his hands. Because he doesn't really have any purpose in it. And what he does purpose to do in it, he loses. It's the second he passes into eternity. So am I going to make that move knowing that that temporary fleeting moment has either can be the most important thing ever or it could be the most defeated, empty, tragic spending of a moment that I could ever have? That's the great question.
Yeah, it sure is. So... yeah, people love that television show, Finding Your Roots.
Mm.
They want to go back and to their ancestry. But the fact of the matter is the tree's gone and the roots are gone too, right? And the only root that matters is what the scripture says, the root of David.
Yeah.
And that's Christ himself.
Yeah.
And when you have him, you have eternal life. And that is everything. So, yeah, time is most definitely a test.
Yes.
And if you've trusted Christ, congratulations. You passed the test with flying colors.
Amen.
It's a trust. Make the best possible use out of that time that God has given you. Be a good steward of the manifold grace of God.
Yes.
Exercise your gifts, your talents, your abilities, and whatever you do, whatever you're doing, do it to the glory of God. And don't forget, it's a temporary assignment.
It really is.
We're not here on planet Earth for very long.
Yeah. And also, just in closing, Pastor Love, that when we give our time out, it's great that we give our time. It's great. Give your time away. Give it to other people. But do so in a way that is God's mind for you to do it. Because even in our giving, we need to know, is this what God's purpose is? You know, could we be guilty of giving our time everywhere else except for our family? We could. We could fall into a trap, and we could end up living in regret over that. But also, could we give so much time to our family that we never bother giving to the body of Christ or to the purpose of God? Absolutely. So where do we find the balance? We have to find out what is God's mind for us. You know, find out what, and we've heard this definition again and again, but success is finding out what the will of God is and endeavoring to do it. And this is really how we live our lives in time, is what are the things that are important to you, God, not just in this moment, but for eternity? And how can I best be a steward of what you've given me to help accomplish that along the way? And you know what? We're going to be filled with glorious, fun-filled times along the way. You know, we've been on this journey long enough to know there's a lot of fun in there. Mm-hmm. And there's some tragedy and there's some difficulty. But ultimately, it's all for the glory of God if we can live and trust in him.
Amen. Yeah. Well, friends, we're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us for this Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. Please don't forget to subscribe to the Grace Hour on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Appreciate you being with us. We'll be back a little less than 24 hours from now for the Thursday edition of the broadcast, and we hope that you'll tune in. Till then, may God richly bless you and use your time wisely.